as our environment changes and as people's lifestyle in America also change, they're affected by all kinds of different things, this gives an option.
The Global Passport Investor is your go-to podcast. So welcome to the latest episode of the Global Passport Investor. I'm your host, Eric Major, an investment migration veteran with three decades in the game. I'm the founder and executive chairman of the Latitude Group, where our clients expect the world and we deliver it. So on this podcast, we discuss the wonderful world of residency and citizenship and all things investment migration. And if you're looking to obtain international residency or citizenship, this is indeed the podcast for you. Now, for those of you who are watching us on YouTube, we'll invite you to leave your questions in the comments section below and we'll get back to you. And of course, if you're listening to the podcast, you can email your queries to questions@globalpassportinvestor.com. Now, today we have a very special guest, and mindful how a lot of you who are listening are from the Americas, North America and the United States in particular. I'm really pleased to have with me Heidi Finn. Heidi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eric.
I'm really glad that you made your way over to meet up with us here at our office in Dubai. You were telling me earlier how this is a familiar place to you. We're here just a few weeks ago, and sounds like you've been to a number of countries. I'll be really interested to hear more about your roster of places you've been just in the last year. But I want you to share with our listeners and our viewers a little bit about your history. Like, where are you coming from?
We'll
want to hear your story about not just the United States and where you're coming from, but how your life became what appears to be a global citizen kind of mentality and international approach.
Sure.
So Heidi, welcome again and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks again. I'm a Colorado resident, not native.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Santa Fe, New Mexico and moved to Sydney right after university.
Okay.
I was with a private jet company there, then moved to the UK. And 9/11 happened. And I had the opportunity to go back to Australia, but my family, all still based in the United States, felt like I needed to go home. Mm-hmm. So I threw a dart at the map, landed in Colorado, never been outside the airport, and just decided to make it my home.
No kidding.
But
so being from Santa Fe, but you had never really had any previous connection to the state of Colorado?
Not at all.
Wow. Okay. Not a bad place to hang out from what I hear.
Well, it's not. It's not. It's a pretty fabulous, I'm going to say country, it's a pretty fabulous state.
Yeah.
You know, it's got all the elements of, you know, the outdoor, the lifestyle, the sunshine, the weather, you know, pretty vibrant economy, a very young, active lifestyle. So it appealed to me, especially coming from 365 days of rain in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, well, I could vouch for that. I live there now as a Canadian, been 12 years in that part of the world, so I know about rain. But to be fair, I was prior to London living in Vancouver, which is close to Seattle, and Americans would know that's a rainy part of the world as well. And what kind of a business did you get involved in once you landed in Colorado? Because I understand you have a strong real estate and property connection. I want to hear a bit about that.
Sure. I've been in residential and commercial real estate full-time since 2004. I have offices in Denver, Colorado, and then up the mountain, Summit County, which is one of our ski areas, Breckenridge, Keystone, that kind of thing, and then Aspen, Colorado, which is a little bit more well-known.
Well-known internationally, for
right,
sure.
Right, and so I buy-sell and help people buy-sell, but most importantly, as my clients have expanded, and I think just from a real estate perspective, I work with people that have bought and sold houses with me numerous times. So it's a referral-based business as opposed from an advertising-based business.
Yes.
And as I mentioned earlier, I probably give just as much travel advice, given my history, as I do with real estate. So I combined a lot of that. We do a lot of international investments for investors that are looking for something that's outside of Mexico, Costa Rica, Panama. And so I constantly am sourcing different opportunities for people that are looking for those solutions.
Yeah, I imagine that would have brought you closer to the world of visas and you know, just beyond being just a visitor, which, you know, as an American, your passport affords access and visa-free travel to a number of countries. But if one wants to establish a second home or more connectivity, you get into our world at Latitude. How did you connect to this residency and citizenship by investment world. How did that happen? And
It had to do with my seven-year-old, honestly. Mm. I have a seven-year-old little boy that was in public school, and at the time, he was really struggling. And so through a series of testing and such, we found out that he had dyslexia.
Okay.
So we took him out of public school. We put him back into private school, where the ratio, teacher-student ratio, was much better. Yeah. Stacked the deck in his favor to give him opportunity to really figure out how to learn. Mm. And in doing so, I started thinking about, okay, if I've got 10 years of private school, what am I going to do for university, for instance, if for some reason that's where the path he decides he wants to go, and I have to pay for it versus scholarship grants, etc. Mm-hmm. So having lived overseas and knowing the advantages of a residency or a citizenship, in some cases, will afford a more affordable education opportunity, I started researching about how to do that and what does that look like. And so the path to EU citizenship became very apparent to me, or residency, so that I'd have the ability to move my family back to Europe and have more affordable options, or just have options
Options. Yeah, just which is options. Really, isn't that the key word we're hearing more and more in our industry? Optionality. It's just about giving as many possibilities and keeping those doors open. But by then, before, I want to dive a little bit deeper, because you seem to have weaved quite a international lifestyle and exposure over the years. Like, how many countries have you spent any degree of time in your professional career, for example?
I stopped counting at 130 years ago. So that's just been my number.
Really?
I've got
any favorites?
Five expired passports in my safe.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because I've ran out of pages, have to get another one. Favorites are really hard for me. For what? For adventure, for shopping, for food, like parameters, any of those things.
Yes.
You know, I'm a scuba diver, I hang glide, I paraglide, I do a lot of adventures. So it's you know, what
one
do you
country,
want to do and where do you want to go? And
won't cut it. One country wouldn't cut it for any of that.
Absolutely.
And so is it fair to say, and you know, we've talked about this before the show, how, you know, I always say to people, if you would have told me 5 years ago that one of my number one source markets would be the United States of America, I would have fallen off my chair. I joke how the first 20 years of my career, which frankly paid my mortgage and my daughter's education, has been thanks to China. China was a big consumer of the solutions that I've offered, whether it's residence into Canada, or the UK, even Hong Kong and Singapore had programs, and then got into the citizenship space. So China, Southeast Asia in general were big consumers, and Americans were, I guess, very happy in their 50 states. What's changed? Because we know, and we know many of our listeners are listening in from the United States. What's happened as an American? How would you describe this?
I think it's a good question. I think from the conversations I have with my client base, close friends, people that have a passport and use it, I think options are number one. Mm. You know, I think our company or our country is paralyzed by a lot of different things, mm-hmm. whether it's socioeconomic, whether it is political, whether you've got people like myself who are looking for education options that are outside of the United States, affordability, mm-hmm. healthcare. There's all kinds of reasons, but I think there's also a growing number of people that are starting to acquire wealth.
Yes.
And as their wealth grows,
this is one of the things they
exactly
feel they could avail themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, I you know, I always say there was always been a strong correlation for this industry and our business to obviously the creation of wealth. Where more and more millionaires exist, are we more likely to have demand, but also just because the world is a precarious place. And you know, we have this lovely little acronym that we've developed here at Latitude to kind of explain the drivers and the key points that people point to as to why they reach out to us. We have this idea that we help our clients enhance their smile. That's cute. What does that mean? Enhance their smile means enhance their security. S for security. M for mobility. I for basically providing them and their family options, but really insurance policy, which is what these programs also offer. Some people, we saw this post-pandemic, do it, and I think you're contingent of this lifestyle, right? You like the diversity the world offers, so why not have access to these countries for lifestyle purposes? And as you started with your son, to provide education and maybe down the road employment opportunities.
The greatest investment you could ever make is an investment in your future. Rift Trust and Latitude Group is the leading provider of residency and citizenship solutions for high net worth individuals.
Our clients are like our extended family. We're a global firm with a local focus.
What makes us truly unique is our leadership team. 100 years of combined industry experience, and we're working every day with governments to improve and build new residency and citizenship programs.
Obtaining a second residence or citizenship is the best modern insurance policy for you and your family.
Our clients expect the world.
We deliver it.
Hello to freedom.
It's often a combination of one or two or three or all five of those, but including Americans. And is it fair to say that maybe the country's become a little bit more polarized now, and some of these pressure points are appearing and having people also to consider just having those options?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the elephant in the room is our upcoming election.
Yeah.
You know, another Trump presidency will drastically alter the identity that the U.S. has of a nation of immigrants, and a Biden administration will look very different.
Yes.
So I think no matter the side that you're on, I think there are a lot of people that are considering becoming expats for one reason or another.
Yeah, or at least having that option too. I agree. I think most Americans, you know, if given the choice, would rather not have to pick up their bags, although certainly get exposure like you have. You know, you've lived in the United States, but you've, you know, traveled a lot and, you know, had a lot of exposure to different countries. So there's a growing number of Americans who are looking for that. And that's what some of these programs provide, because as you know, they're not requiring necessarily for the applicant to spend any degree of significant time in the country.
Absolutely.
Right? Thinking of Portugal with its 7 days a year requirement, Malta for EU citizenship, which will require less than a month of physical presence. So I think that's my observation, is Americans like that. They like that option. But if the world around them changes, they have a place to go.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you have American citizenship. You said you had two. What was the second one?
UK.
Okay. So that used to give you a little bit more power and access pre-Brexit. I could tell you about that myself, because I'm also a UK national. But yeah, it doesn't give us the EU like it once did.
Well, and I think going back to my own personal experiences, and this is where I share this with a lot of clients. It's if you want to live in Europe, there's a program out there. Mm-hmm. You know, Malta's quick. It doesn't have a language requirement.
Mm-hmm.
All documents are in English, because one of the official languages is English, and it allows you to then live and work in any EU country.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you an option as opposed to the lengthier requirements in some of these other countries. And so I think as our environment changes, and as people's lifestyle in America also change, they're affected by all kinds of different things, this gives an option.
Well, and this is it. I think particularly with the mass affluent and the wealthy, it's really just being able to have that exposure or that access and that experience in more than one place in the world. I mean, it's this combination. Maybe I could split my time in a calendar year to two or three different places.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you'd need status and visas or citizenship to do that. So I think this post-pandemic in particular is opening up, particularly in the United States. Now, let's not forget, though, you know, in our business, we always remind everyone that the largest golden visa in the world, the largest residency program in the world in terms of residency by investment, is still the United States with its EB-5 investor visa. So, you know, we're talking about Americans considering options abroad, but there's still a lot of the world wanting inbound into the United States. I know you facilitate aspects of that with you know, should they wish to buy property. You want to share a little bit of your experience with that?
Sure. So I work a lot with the Denver Economic Office, and I have a lot of foreign nationals that are clients of mine. Mm. And migration has been something that I think has blurred, if you will, in the past, I'd say about 5 or 10 years. We've seen a lot of influx coming into Colorado, for instance. Mm. And I think the EB-5 is still, you know, the fastest way to a green card. It doesn't mm-hmm. require skills. It doesn't require specific professional ability. Mm-hmm. If you can qualify and make the investment threshold, then
and you're on that path.
You're
to a
on
green
that
card.
Path, and then so is your family. And then all of a sudden, your family has you have access to public schools, higher education, healthcare, employment, and ultimately, as a businessman or woman, you have access to the world's largest economy. So I think there's attraction inbound as well as outbound. It just depends on your goals and what you're looking for.
Yeah, this is what's so exciting to companies like us, like here in Dubai. There's just as much around individuals wanting access and status in other parts of the world, which has fed literally the last 15 years of the UAE market. But guess what? There's a lot of inbound coming here. I mean, you know
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I mean, what's your experience with the UAE? And Dubai in particular, what a place, isn't it?
It's fabulous. It's one of my favorite cities in the world, and it always has been. The first time I came here was in 2011, and then have been here multiple times since. People ask me, you just asked that favorite earlier. It's a city that has so much to give and offer, and it's truly a melting pot of all nationalities and all walks of life. And you can, as a vacation destination, I think there is so much here to experience, whether your family's single, business. There's just so much to do and so much growth here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the interesting little nuggets for us is, you know, Turkish Airlines just announced nonstop flights Denver to Istanbul. So
really,
now
that airline, they have connectivity to so many places.
I know, but now it makes it a lot easier. It makes it a lot easier for us to get to. So when I come back in October, that's how I'm going.
I see. Just because that would be a long flight, I have to think. But if it's through Istanbul, then it's just another short
it's just one connection.
I
mean, right now I go Denver, Newark, Dubai, or this time I like to stay south during the winter.
Yeah.
So I did Denver, Miami, Dubai. So this time I'll do a nonstop to Istanbul in October.
Yeah, but just finishing our thought on that. So UAE is a good example of both an outbound and inbound, but guess what? So is the United States. It's great that we have people like you to help. Well, in one hand, this is why you're connected to Latitude. You're a strategic partner internationally, but also in the United States. You know there's an audience in the United States for what we do and how we could help. You're there to meet people, shake the tree, talk to them about these solutions, talk about the lifestyle that they could afford themselves for them and their family, right?
Absolutely. I think Denver was a prime space or spot to open up a strategic office as a center of the country.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We've got a lot of connectivity internationally. We have nonstop flights to Tokyo, down to Mexico, Canada, UK, Germany, and then, like I mentioned, to Turkey. Mm. Aer Lingus is doing nonstop Denver-Dublin for our descent clients.
Wow.
So there's a lot. We're growing as a city, and I think as, you know, just in my surrounding states, you know, there's a lot of wealth that is around us, and certainly a lot of Americans that look to companies like Latitude to really guide them through that residency or citizenship option.
Yeah, and that's really the power. It's not just one or two countries, over 30 countries that we could help and help navigate and answer their questions and hopefully provide them a whole new lifestyle and paradigm and opportunity and enhance their smile, as I said earlier. Listen, Heidi, we've been having a nice exchange, but we have this part of the show where I always finish off called Anecdota Time. This is our Greek way of saying, tell us a little story about yourself, whether it's about the business or about your experiences abroad, or whether it's something that was funny or curious or just a funny anecdote, possibly linked to the business that we're in, but possibly not. Anything that you think our viewers would be interested in hearing about?
Well, I would say at a very young age, I was a very restless soul. My parents are German immigrants. My mom has a swastika on her birth certificate.
No kidding.
No kidding. And I knew from a very early age that I was going to get out and get a passport. Mm. The only thing is, I did not tell my parents about that when I applied. The first time I was 17, and I was motivated by the Air Force paramedic that I was dating at the time.
Yeah, okay.
And he wanted to go skydiving in the south of France. So that got me my passport.
Okay.
And a phenomenal summer
experience.
I have,
in the south of France, you said?
Yeah.
See, I had my first skydiving experience in Rochester, New York, in the summer as a tandem dive, and that's when I discovered I had vertigo. So I never did that again.
Oh, you never did that again. Oh, how funny!
But that was a really interesting experience.
Right.
So south of France, that would be nice. Yeah.
Yep. And then, you know,
that opened your eyes to the whole going abroad thing.
Well, that that was such a minor blip in my life.
Okay.
Really, what really just opened my heart and soul is I got certified to scuba dive. I have 1,000 ocean water dives all around the world.
Cool.
And as a landlocked state, whether it was New Mexico or Colorado, you had to travel in order to do that.
Yeah.
And so the ability to go and to see and to do and to experience just the whole world just opened up at a very young age. And every opportunity or every country that I would visit opened up a new opportunity, a new person, a new contact.
Yeah.
And so
we become richer because of it, eh?
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine. To me, it can be even more empowering than even higher education in some ways. You know,
exactly.
Just that exposure to the world is so critical, more so in this 21st century.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, as an American, you're very restricted to the world within our borders.
Mm-hmm.
As an American, you are.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just pick up and move or work or live unless you've got that visa status.
Yes.
That was my first exposure. How do I get to do, I moved to Australia first. How do I get a work visa there?
Mm-hmm.
How do I get a sponsor? How do I get to do that? This was before, this was in the early 90s, before I even was aware of residency and citizenship. Right. And so my work visas or my residency visas were always connected to an employer.
Yes.
And so,
which is often the case with many people.
Sure.
To start with, for sure.
Sure. But I didn't want that. Ultimately, what I wanted was the ability to pick up and move and do whatever it is that I wanted.
Mm.
And so these residency and citizenship programs have really opened my eyes to the ability to, I want to pick up and move to Spain. Maybe I want to go to Malta. I want to go to...
Even if it's just to spend a bit of time. Like we said earlier, a lot of these programs that we offer don't require any excessive amount of physical presence or commitment. To acquire them, it takes an investment.
Sure.
And you need to meet the due diligence requirements. You got to fill out some forms and pick up some old documents to submit to the government. But once approved, in fact, I would say a good, at least half, if not three quarters, of these programs will require, whether it's a week, a year, or 5 days over 5 years, like in Antigua, or 0 days. Now, that's still the place that you want to go visit, then you want to enjoy, but on your terms, on your schedule, when you want to do it.
Absolutely.
And maybe with a view, you know, down the road, you know, with retirement in terms of lifestyle, where you want to be and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that you get this business. You've lived the life that I think a lot of our listeners are going to be interested in. Thank you for sharing that anecdote. I will close off with thanking you for coming. Sharing your story and your experience, inviting our listeners and viewers to get in contact with you in the Colorado or just the U.S. Market in general. Thank you for being part of the Latitude Group and Latitude team as a strategic partner. And I really enjoyed our chat today.
Same.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. And thank you all for listening. Please stay tuned for our future episodes of the Global Passport Investor. Thank you.
For a deep dive into the recommended residency and citizenship programs available, please check out latitudeworld.com for further details.